Now, let's open the Word of God together tonight. We're opening the Word of God in the book of Hebrews and the chapter number 7. That is the 7th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Let's follow the Word of God tonight. And we'll commence reading verse number 22. Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were, there were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh a son who is consecrated forevermore. Let's keep our Bibles open. Let's bow our heads in a wee word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that we're gathered around thy precious word. And I pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt once again take of thy word and write it upon the preacher's heart and write it upon the people's heart. Help us, our God, to go out tonight rejoicing in all that we have and all that we are in and through the Lord Jesus and his finished work of the cross. We thank thee that Jesus shed his precious blood for sinners. He shed his blood for me. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll bless this congregation of people. Bless those who are listening in tonight. Bless thy word to their hearts. Encourage them. Strengthen them. Oh God, I pray that this night that glory may be brought to the Savior's name in the salvation of the lost and restoration of the fallen, the blessing, edification of the saints. We pray this in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. This has been the Lord's Day. We've been in the book of Hebrews. This morning, our brother opened the Word of God and was giving us the backcloth to the book of Hebrews. Just exactly who it was written to and the circumstances of the day in which this book was written. And then when we gathered round the Lord's table, we were looking in the book of Hebrews again in the chapter number 10, where we were reminded that Jesus Christ, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down in the right hand of God. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. But I want us to come to chapter 7 tonight of the book of Hebrews, and I want us to look at verse number 25 of this book. Verse number 25, it says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I want to talk about this complete salvation, a complete salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. What a wonderful subject is the subject of salvation. It amazes me that so many preachers never mention salvation through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is that thought tonight in that verse, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth, to make intercession for them. It's the complete salvation that we have summarized there in this verse number 25. Now, the first word is the word wherefore. And as we have said in the past, when you get the word wherefore or therefore, either of those words, it is a connecting word. It is a word that refers us to a some fact that has already been given. And therefore, that brings me to the context. Wherefore is that word that directs us to a fact that has been given before this? And so therefore, what follows in verse 25, wherefore, is built upon the foundation of what has gone before. And so therefore, we look back to the previous verse and we find, what is it mentioned to us in verse 24? It says, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. It says, this man has an unchangeable priesthood. He continueth, or he abideth ever. Now, of course, when it says, but this man, that then refers to others that have been mentioned in the chapter as well. The previous verse to verse 24 is verse 23. And therefore it is referring, they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. And so we have a contrast here. We have many priests. And then we have this man. This man. And we see the contrast, because in the many priests, it says, they were not suffered to continue. But this man, he continueth ever. Notice the difference. The priests, the many priests, they were not suffered to continue. But this man continueth ever. Therefore, we see the difference, the contrast between the many priests. Now, of course, you have to ask yourself, why were there many priests? Well, the answer is very simple. We have it in the verse. Because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. And the reason why that there were many priests, it was because death became a reality to them. In other words, they were taken away. Death took them away. And their lives were over. So we read many priests who in and of themselves were weak and they were unprofitable. But we find that this man. You see, friend, let me tell you this. One by one, the priests of the Old Testament, one by one they died. They were not suffered to continue because death came and took them away. And whenever death came and took them away, another priest came and filled their place. But here we find the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest. The Word of God tells us, but this man, because he continueth ever. And so we see the continued priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel required a priest. He was not subject to the bondage of death, and Jesus Christ was not subject to the bondage of death. Death could not hold him. Thank God Jesus Christ came to die as our substitute. Yes, he died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven saved through his precious blood. But thank God he could not be held by death. Because he tore the bars of death away. And glory to God, he says, I have the power to lay my life down. He says, I have the power to take it again. Thank God we have a Savior, a wonderful Savior. Now, of course, that was prophesied, this coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to the book of the Psalms. Keep your hand there in Hebrews. Psalm 110. And you'll find there it says in Psalm 110 in the verse number 1, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord, verse number 4, the Lord hath sworn and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, when you come to chapter 7 of the book of Hebrews, in verse number 21, it says this, "For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, The Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And so we have got the great truth here of the eternal priesthood of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God, because he lives forever, he is able to save them to the uttermost. Thank God, through his death and through his resurrection. If the Lord Jesus Christ had died and not rose again, if he had been held in the bonds of death, friend, you and I could never have eternal life. But thank God, Jesus Christ died for our sins. Yes, he died. But thank God, he rose again because of our justification. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. And so our Lord's priesthood was undertaken by him for the salvation of men. Now, not only have we the context, let's move very quickly. We'll find the conqueror here. Look at verse number 25 again. Wherefore, the next word, he. Wherefore he is able to save them. I want you to notice here, he is able. There is the person. He is able. This man that's spoken about. Or in chapter 10, in verse number 12, but this man, pointing to none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. This man, because let me tell you, he was God and is God. He became man. And there is a man in the glory tonight, the God-man that's in the glory. The Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary. Yes, they pierced his hands and his feet. He shed his precious blood for you and me. And in heaven, he carries the marks of Calvary. What are the wounds in thy hands? The question's asked. And the Savior bears, our great high priest, he bears the marks. He bears the wounds of Calvary in his hands tonight. Somebody asked the question, what's in heaven made by man? Somebody said, no, there's nothing. The answer's not true, friend. There is. There's the nail prints, the marks of the nail prints in Jesus' hand. And so we find that he is able. Thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Word of God says, listen, wherefore he is able. He is able. There's not a doubt about the ability of the Lord. It says he is able to save. Way back in the book of Genesis in the chapter 18, a question was once asked. Do you remember Sarah laughed whenever the Lord or the angel of the Lord visited the old man and said to him that Sarah was going to bear a child? And whenever Sarah in the tent, she heard it being said that she would bear a child, and she was 80 years of age, coming 80 years of age, or 90 years of age, and you know, she laughed. And of course, a question was asked, why did you laugh? Oh, she said, I didn't laugh, but you did. And the question was asked there in Genesis chapter 18 and the verse 14. Let me just read it. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? That was asked also in the book of Jeremiah too. But the amazing thing in the book of Jeremiah, friend, you'll find that in Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 27, it asks the question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? But in verse 17 of Jeremiah 32, it's answered before it's asked. Ah, Lord God, there's nothing too hard for thee.
And let me tell you, my friend, he is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. There are people in this society, friend, and you can say, listen, they're so hard. The Lord could never save them. Let me tell you, it's not true. He's able. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon received. You know, there's a little study in the Bible. Those words, he is able. Let me just show you a few of them. In the book of Matthew's Gospel and the chapter 3, Matthew chapter 3, and it says in verse number 9, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abram to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abel. God is able. In the book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, in the verse number 28, it says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able. He's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. He's able. In the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20, in that great passage of God's Word where Paul was leaving the church at Ephesus, and in verse number 32, he's giving his final warning to the elders of the church. Verse 28, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Verse number 31, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Thank God he's able. He's able. In the book of Romans, chapter number 4, we have got that same thought once again. In the verse number 20, it says this, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he, God also, or was able also to perform. He's able. Jude verse 24 says, he's able to keep you from falling. There's other verses, Ephesians chapter 3, 20, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, all confirming he's able, God's able. And thank God we have the conqueror tonight. He is able. But here's the conquest. It says he is able also to save them. There's the conquest. He's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. He's able to deliver. He's able to deliver from the guilt of sin. You see, the law condemns us. The law, the Bible tells us, is a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. And whenever you read the law of God, and God says, thou shalt, and God says, thou shalt not, and when you read those words, my friend, we find that the law of God reminds us that we are sinners. Measure ourselves by the law of God. The Bible says that we fall short. We all fall short of the glory of God. The demands of the law of God, we fall short. And the law condemns us. But thank God something happens in Christ. He's able to save. Thank God he sets us free from the condemnation. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And friend, once we stood condemned, the law of God had put the sentence of death upon us. The law had already arraigned us, accused us, condemned us before God. The law had already found us guilty before God. But in Christ, thank God we're set free. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And in Christ we are free, set free from the imputation of guilt, that there is therefore now no condemnation. He's able to see. And that's what it means, friend. We are secured from guilt. We are secured from the condemnation of hell. And there is now, therefore, no condemnation. Why? Because the Bible says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Galatians 3:13. Why? Being made a curse for us. He bore the punishment. He bore the condemnation. All the wrath of God, friend, that was due for my sin, Christ bore the wrath of God. He drank, the Bible reminds us, he drank damnation dry for us. All the hell that was due for my sin, Christ Jesus, my Savior, suffered it for me. He tread the winepress of God's wrath alone for you and me. Friend, this is not a cheap salvation. It's a full salvation, but at an awful price. We are redeemed, not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but we are redeemed, hallelujah, with the blood of Christ. And if you're in this meeting tonight and you, my friend, you feel the burden and the load of guilt, of sin in your soul, I have good news tonight. Glory to God, there's salvation in Christ. That's why he came. He came to set the sinner free. But he's able to do that. Yes, he is able to save. Hallelujah. He's able to save. Why? Because thank God he took the sinner's place. And all the wrath of a righteous God was poured out on Christ. And God lifted the sword of his divine justice that was due for my sin and plunged it into the bosom of his own dear Son, that you and I might be set free and never be condemned. That's why there is there for now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. It's not that there's no condemnation, it's to them which are in Christ Jesus. Outside of Christ, you're as condemned as any man or woman could ever be. You're on your way to hell, friend. I remember way back in 1971 when I was in Crumlin Road, Belfast. That is just the nice way of saying in prison. I remember that the person that worked with me down in the cookhouse, one of the men of that prison, he was the last person to be condemned to die, to be hanged by the neck. And then he got the royal pardon. The stay of his execution. He was in the death cell. The next morning he was to go out to hang by the neck until he died. And then his death sentence was commuted to life imprisonment. Friend, let me tell you, if you're unsaved tonight, maybe you glory in the fact, well, I'll never be in prison and I'll never be in a condemned cell. Let me tell you, friend, you got it wrong. For that book tells me, he that believeth not on the Son of God, friend, is condemned already. You're already in the condemned cell. And there's only one that can commute the sentence. But the difference about him is this. that man got commuted to life imprisonment. He gives the royal pardon. He frees you from the guilt, the condemnation of hell itself. Glory to God. He's able. He's able. Maybe there's someone tonight in your heart and mind and you're burdened for them. And you say, are they too far gone? Let me tell you, believe it tonight. God's able. He's able to save them. But then notice something else. Notice the completeness. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost. To the uttermost. All that come unto God by him. Billy Sunday said, he's able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. And thank God he can take a man that's down in the gutter. Maybe the world's given up on them. Maybe your friends have given up on you. Maybe, friend, you've given up on yourself. And as far as you're concerned, written across your brow tonight and written across your life are these two words: no hope. You're a no-hoper. You're a loser. The devil tells you that. Let me tell you tonight, he's able to save to the uttermost. To the uttermost. From the guttermost to the uttermost. The word there means to the outside, to the end, to the last, to the furthest point. Completely. In every manner. As Spurgeon said, save forever. Forever. The utmost extent of guilt is not beyond the power of the Savior. And friend, though you be looked upon by society as the worst down there in the gutter, let me tell you this. He's able to take the devil's castaways. He's able to take the sinner out of the dunghill. And he sets them among princes to be a part of the royal family of God. How does it happen? He is able. Notice the word he. He's able to save to the uttermost. Notice what it doesn't say. It's not to the utmost of his ability. No, friend. He's able to save us to the utmost of our necessity. You see, a few Sunday nights ago, we were talking about the man who was a leper, and he called out in the Lord, and he said, Lord, if thou wilt, Lord, if you're willing, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus says, I will. But the thing about that man was this, he never doubted the Lord's ability. He questioned the Lord's willingness because he was an outcast. But friend, the Word of God tells us here, he's able. His ability. He is able to save. Listen, let me tell you. I know that many a doctor has stood at the side of a dying man. Maybe he looked into the face of a lovely young girl or into the face of a lovely young man that had life in front of them, and the sentence of death has been upon them, and he looks upon them and they're dying of cancer. And the doctor has to deliver that message to a mother whose heart's breaking that her child's dying. And the doctor would be willing to cure. But he's not able. I think of the Old Testament story of David and Absalom. He said, "Absalom, would God I had died for you. I'd gladly have died in your place." But friend, he couldn't. He wasn't able to die in his place. Absalom died alone, hanging in a tree. Young man who made a wrong choice. Get carried away by the sins of the flesh. And died. And his father cried over his coffin. Absalom, I'd gladly have died for you. Do you know why, friend? Because David was ready to go. And Absalom wasn't. And he cried over a lost son. And he wasn't able to deliver him. I have good news tonight. Thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's able. He is able to save to the uttermost. Notice the next word. That come. Meaning all that come. All that come. That brings me to the coming. That come unto God by him. In the Old Testament law, man drew near to God by the means of sacrifice offered by a priest. But friends, as we noticed this morning around the communion table, day after day, they offered those sacrifices which could never take away sin. But this man, after he offered one sacrifice forever, sat down at the right hand of God. How can I approach a holy God tonight? Through Christ. That come unto God by him. You don't come to God via the church. You don't come to God by the communion table. You don't come to God by the baptismal font or even tank. There is only one way to God, friend, and that's through Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the only way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The only way to God is through Christ. And thank God, by his permanent priesthood, our Lord Jesus Christ possesses the power of salvation. But notice as we come to a close, this is a complete salvation. Because it doesn't finish there. Look at the consolation. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Listen, friend. He not only died for me, but praise God, he lives for me. He lives for me. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. But he ever liveth. Listen. He abideth forever. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Notice the twofold office of the priest that Jesus exercises. Sacrificing, interceding. Friend, sacrificing was done once for all, never to be repeated. He offered himself. He was the sacrifice for us. As I said, he bore all the wrath of God due for my sin. He bare my sin in his own body on the tree. And the wrath that was due for my sin, he bore it all. He sacrificed himself. He gave his own body on the tree. That was once for all, never to be repeated. But interceding, it continues. And tonight, there's one in the glory. And he intercedes for me. He lives for me to intercede. The intercession of Christ. Just for a moment, we'll soon be through. John chapter 17. Let me see just what's the Lord interceding about. What's he saying about you and me if you love the Lord Jesus? I've often said it, people call our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. They call that the Lord's Prayer, friend. In reality, that's not the Lord's Prayer. That's the disciples' prayer. He said that when he was asked the question, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus says, after this manner, he was giving us an example, a sample of prayer. But friend, the Lord's Prayer, the high priestly prayer, was in John chapter 17. And in John chapter 17, if you look at verse number 9, he prays this. He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Thank God he's praying for us that we be brought home to God or brought to Christ. Verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but thou shouldst keep them from the evil. So he's praying that we be kept from sin. Do you remember what he said to Peter? He said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired thee to sift thee as wheat, but, he says, I prayed for thee. There's the intercession of Christ. And he prays not that we be taken out of the world. We're in the world until the Lord designs and desires us to go. So you occupy until the Lord calls. You keep occupying until the Lord calls you. He says, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world. I'm praying that you keep them from the evil. And then verse 24, he says, his Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. He's praying that we be preserved for glory. God, bring them home. And that's where it'll end, friend. in the glory. Thank God we'll get there. Not because of anything that we have done, and not because of works of righteousness that we have done, but those who are truly saved tonight, born again of the Spirit of God, you will be there. The Lord Jesus Christ died for you, but praise God, He's interceding for you. Father, I will that they be with me where I am. Lord, I want you to bring them home. Bring them home to glory. He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Maybe tonight you're going through hard times. Maybe you've had a tough week. Maybe this year has been hard. Bodily ailments, maybe family circumstances, whatever it is. And then maybe times you felt that nobody cares what you're going through. Maybe you feel lonely. You've been oppressed by the devil, attacked by the world and the flesh. And the devil says you're all alone. Let me tell you, friend, if you're a child of God tonight, He ever liveth to make intercession for you. You're never alone. The psalmist said, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. During the American Civil War, there was a young Union soldier. And he lost his father and his older brother to the war. His mother and his sister were at home. It was the planting season, the spring planting. And he knew that they would not be able to do it themselves. And he knew that their hearts were breaking because of the death of the father and the death of the husband, the death of the son. And so he decided to go to Washington, D.C., to see if he would get an exemption from military service to go home and help his mother and his sister in the planting season. He approached the White House. He asked to see the president, and he was turned away. The young soldier, totally dejected and disheartened, he sat down on a park bench nearby. All of a sudden, a young lad came. A little boy. He saw the soldier lad sitting there, bent over. He knew there was something wrong. And the little boy approached and he says, you look unhappy, soldier. What's wrong? Well, the soldier shared his story. Little boy with a smile on his face, he reached out his hand. He reached out and he touched the soldier's hand. And he said to the soldier, come with me. He walked into the grounds of the White House. He went through the back door of the White House and past the guards into the president's office. The president was sitting there. He looked up and saw his son. He says, what can I do for you, Tad? Tad said, Daddy, this soldier needs to talk to you. Needs your help. That president was President Abraham Lincoln. That little boy was Lincoln's son. Friend, the first time that boy approached the White House, he was turned away. But this time he walks past the guards and he walks into the president's office and looks into the eyes of the President of the United States of America. How did he get there, friend? Hand in hand with the President's son. And thank God, he's able, God is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, his son. You never make it on your own, friend. But praise God, you will. Through Christ. Here's my question and through. Will you come to Jesus? Will you come to the Lord Jesus? Take your place as a sinner. Receive him as your Savior. And I'll guarantee you tonight, on the authority of God himself, he'll save you. He'll save you. Now, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for thy precious word. Thy word is truth. We rejoice in the authority of thy word tonight. There's power in this book. There's power in the cross and in the blood and in the word. And I pray tonight that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that thou will write this word upon the hearts of those that are gathered here. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe there's someone here tonight. Friend, be honest before God, you're not saved. You're not right with God. If you were to leave this scene of time tonight, you'd step out of time and into God's eternity. You'd be in hell. What a tragedy. And remember, when you get there, you're there forever. There's no coming back. But you can be saved. You don't need to go to hell. Thank God Christ has died. The blood has been shed. The sacrifice has been made. He's able to save you. Will you come? You say, how can I come? How do I come? You come as you are. Come as a sinner. You have done the sinning, friend. Jesus does the saving. Come to him. As every head is bowed and eyes closed, we'll sing one verse of a hymn. Heads bowed and eyes closed, we'll sing that little verse, just as I am, without one plea. O Lamb of God, I come. Is that true tonight? Are you coming? Is there someone tonight broken by sin? And you're coming as a sinner. Is there someone, and you've wandered away from the Lord, friend, once you walked with him, but you're far away. You're in bypass meadows. You're backslidden. You're cold in heart. Maybe others think you're all right. But you know you're not. God knows you're not. Will you say, O Lamb of God, I come. I return. As we sing this little verse, if there's one tonight, sinner or backslider, and you desire to come to the Lord tonight, you indicate that desire. We'll gladly open the Word of God when everyone has gone away, and we'll go to the quietness of a minister's room and open the scriptures and show you there how you can be saved or be restored. Will you come? Just lift that hand above your head as we sing. O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. He bids you come tonight. That thou bidst me come to thee. Is there one tonight in the service, upstairs or downstairs, You're coming to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, tonight for salvation or restoration. Would you lift that hand right now? I come. Friend, we're here to help you. Don't go away. I beg you, don't go away without the Lord. We're glad to show you from God's Word how you can really, really be born of God. Heavenly Father, write thy word in every heart. Save the sinner, restore the fallen. Bless your word to your people in Jesus' precious name.